The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious, Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back. Today we are undertaking a depth dive into, well, something that touches every single one of us, every day, organizations.
That's so true. I mean, whether you're self-employed, in a tiny team, or navigating a huge corporation, these things, the structures, the unspoken rules, the culture, they really shape our work lives.
They absolutely do. And yet when things go wrong in these organizations, maybe a big strategy fails or change just fizzles out, We tend to reach for the easy answers, don't we? Like, oh, it's just bad communication.
Right. Or toxic culture. And look, those things might be part of it, but they often feel like labels rather than real analysis. They don't give you the tools to dig deeper into the why.
Exactly. So the sources we're drawing on today really tackle that complexity head on. We're aiming to give you a toolkit for understanding organizations that goes way beyond those surface level explanations.
We're primarily looking at the work of Mary Jo Hatch, especially her major books, Organizations and Organization Theory. And our goal here isn't to give you another how-to guide for management.
No, definitely not. It's more of a how-to-think guide. It's about equipping you to diagnose what's really going on. And the core idea, really, is that simple one-size-fits-all explanations, they just don't cut it for modern organizational life.
It's just too complex for that. You need a richer way of seeing things.
Precisely. So let's talk about the person who developed this richer way of seeing. Mary Jo Hatch. She's widely seen as one of the leading figures in organizational theory over the last few decades.
Yeah, she really is. Professor Emerita at the University of Virginia McIntyre School of Commerce. But what's interesting is her background isn't confined to just one place or perspective.
Right. She got her PhD from Stanford, which has that sort of, American practical focus.
Uh-huh.
But then she also spent a lot of time working in Europe, particularly at Copenhagen Business School.
And that blend is really key, isn't it? It brings together maybe the American focus on doing things with a more European philosophical depth.
It makes her a fantastic synthesizer. She's really known for taking quite complex, sophisticated theory and making it relevant, making it usable for people actually managing things day to day.
And crucially, she doesn't just push one single theory. She's a big advocate for what she calls theoretical pluralism.
What does that mean exactly? Pluralism.
It's basically saying, look, you wouldn't try to fix everything with just a hammer, right? You need a whole toolbox. Organizations are messy, complex things. Different problems need different analytical tools or lenses to understand them properly.
So she's not selling her particular brand of theory.
Not at all. She's saying you need to be able to use multiple theoretical lenses. She provides the whole toolbox, which makes her perspective incredibly valuable for navigating the kind of ambiguity we all face.
Okay, so let's get into that toolbox. What's the core framework?
Well, the big idea is that organizations aren't static things. They're complex, they're dynamic, they're constantly evolving based on how structure, culture, and their environment interact.
And to really grasp that complexity, you need to be able to look through, what, three main theoretical lenses?
That's the core of it, yes. Three distinct perspectives. Think of them like different pairs of glasses you can put on to see the same situation in fundamentally different ways.
Okay, let's try them on. What's the first pair?
The first is probably the most familiar one. It's the modernist perspective. This is the rational view.
Ah, the logical approach. Thinking about efficiency, structure, goals.
Exactly. Planning, control, clear objectives. Through this lens, the organization is basically seen as a machine. You design it carefully, measure its performance, and if it's not working right, you find the broken part and fix it or replace it. Very instrumental.
Makes sense. Very common way to think about business. What's the second lens?
The second lens shifts focus dramatically. It's the symbolic interpretive perspective. This one cares less about objective efficiency and more about subjective experience.
Meaning, like how people feel.
Sort of. It's about shared meaning, how reality is socially constructed within the organization. Through these glasses, the organization isn't a machine. It's more like a living culture. Or maybe even the theater.
A theater? How so?
Well, think about roles, scripts, performances. It's about the stories people tell, the myths, the rituals, the symbols that create a shared understanding and identity. It's about interpretation.
Okay, that's quite different. Machine versus culture or theater. And the third lens?
The third one is the postmodern perspective. This one is fundamentally critical. It's skeptical.
Skeptical of what?
Skeptical claims to rationality, skeptical of single narratives, very focused on power dynamics, fragmentation, and whose voices get heard and whose get silenced.
So it's looking for hidden agendas.
In a way, yes. It sees the organization less as a unified machine or culture, and more like a contested text that needs to be deconstructed, or maybe a fragmented collage of competing interests and power plays. It challenges assumptions.
Wow, okay. Machine, culture theater, text collage, those are very different ways of seeing.
And that's exactly Hatch's point. The goal isn't to decide which lens is right, it's to develop the skill to use all three of them, to analyze any situation, a new policy, a team conflict, whatever, through each perspective to get a much richer, more complete understanding.
That's where the real power lies, isn't it? In seeing those different dimensions simultaneously.
Precisely. Let's see how it works with some core concepts. Take something seemingly straightforward like organizational structure, the org chart.
Right. For the modernist, that's pretty clear cut, I imagine.
Absolutely. For the modernist, structure is a tool, pure and simple. It's the hierarchy, the departments, the rules. The purpose is rational. Coordination, control, efficiency, making sure work flows smoothly.
Standard operating procedure. But the symbolic view, how does that see the org chart?
Well, through the symbolic lens, that same org chart might be less about actual efficiency and more of a symbol.
A symbol of what?
Often legitimacy. Think about a small company suddenly creating a very formal, complex-looking structure right before they try to get funding or impress a big client.
So they adopt the look of a stable, rational organization.
Exactly. It's about appearing compliant, rational, serious to the outside world. It might not actually reflect how work gets done day to day. That's what some theorists call myth and ceremony. The structure performs legitimacy.
I can totally see that, like having a fancy mission statement that doesn't connect to reality.
Or the open plan office that's meant to symbolize collaboration, but everyone just puts on headphones. The symbol sends one message, the reality is different.
Okay, so structure as a tool, structure as a symbol. What about the postmodern lens? How does it view structure?
The postmodern view is, well, much more critical, even cynical sometimes. It sees structure primarily as an instrument of control and domination.
Domination, that sounds strong.
It is. The argument is that the structure isn't neutral or just symbolic. It's actively designed, perhaps unconsciously sometimes, to reinforce existing power hierarchies, to create inequalities, and to control people in ways that aren't always obvious.
So the org chart isn't just about who reports to whom for work.
It's also about who has influence, whose voice carries weight, who gets access to resources. It's a map of power, not just workflow.
That's a really profound shift in perspective, just on structure alone.
It is. And you see the same kind of shift when you apply these lenses to organizational culture.
Okay, culture. The modernist view first. I'm guessing it's about managing it.
You got it. The traditional, maybe slightly older modernist view is that culture is something an organization has, like a tool or an asset.
If you have it, you can measure it, change it.
Exactly. You conduct employee surveys, you define core values, you try to engineer a strong culture that aligns with the strategy to boost performance or gain a competitive edge. Culture becomes a variable to be managed.
That sounds like a lot of HR initiatives, actually.
It does. But then the symbolic interpretive lens comes along and says, hang on a second. Culture isn't something an organization has.
It's
something an organization is. It's the very fabric of meaning, the shared understandings, the stories, the assumptions that define what the organization is all about.
So you can't just tweak it like a machine setting.
Not really. Mm-hmm. It's more like the organization's personality or soul, if you like. You can't manage it directly. You have to understand it, interpret it, work within it. It's the context, not just a variable.
Okay, that resonates. Culture feels deeper than just slogans on a wall. What about the postmodern take on culture? Still critical.
Oh, definitely. The postmodern perspective is very skeptical about the whole idea of a single, unified, strong culture.
Why is that? Isn't a strong culture supposed to be good?
Well, they'd ask, good for whom? They see culture as naturally fragmented, made up of lots of different subcultures, often conflicting ones.
So the push for one strong culture
is often seen as a form of managerial control, an attempt to impose conformity, to make everyone think the same way, and maybe silence dissenting views or alternative perspectives. It's ideology disguised as community.
But hang on, don't organizations need some level of shared understanding, some alignment to actually get things done? You can't have complete fragmentation, surely.
That's the tension. And that's precisely why Hatch argues you need all the lenses. Yes, you need the modernist focus on alignment for efficiency. But you also need the symbolic lens to understand why people might resist a change that seems logical on paper. Maybe it violates a deeply held cultural norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the postmodern lens to ask who benefits from this push for alignment and whose voices might be getting lost in the process. You have to hold these different realities together.
Okay, I see. It's not about picking one lens, but using them all to see the inherent contradictions. That explains so much about why logical plans run into emotional or political roadblocks.
Exactly. It's navigating that complexity.
So if we were to boil this down, what are the key takeaways, the main messages that someone listening can apply in their own work life?
Okay, three big themes come to mind. Theme one, theoretical pluralism is strength. This is central. Don't rely on just one way of thinking.
Mix and match the lenses.
Right. You need the modernist view for designing efficient processes, sure. But you absolutely need the symbolic view to understand, say, why employees are subtly resisting that new efficient system. Maybe it breaks informal social bonds they value.
And the postmodern to see if the new system benefits one group over another?
Precisely. Using multiple lenses gives you a richer diagnosis and leads to better interventions.
Okay, pluralism is strength. What's theme two?
Theme two. Organizations are complex and contradictory. They are never just one thing. They are simultaneously rational systems trying to be efficient.
The machine.
Social communities creating shared meaning.
The culture.
And political arenas where different groups compete for influence and resources.
The text or collage, the site of power struggles.
Exactly. And the reality is, you have to operate effectively in all three dimensions at the same time. That's the challenge and the skill.
Recognizing those contradictions is key. And the third theme.
Theme three, the social construction of reality. This comes more from the symbolic and postmodern views. It's the idea that what seems like objective reality, the market, the technology, the competition, isn't just out there.
It's a created.
In large part, yes.
Yeah.
It's created and defined by how people within the organization interpret things, the language they use, the choices they make. Managers don't just respond to the competitive environment. Their decisions and beliefs shape what that environment means for the organization.
That's actually quite empowering, isn't it? If we construct it, we can potentially reconstruct it differently.
Absolutely. It gives us agency.
Hatch's work seems full of these kinds of memorable ideas. Are there any key quotes or concepts that really stand out?
Yes, definitely. Her writing packs a punch. Let's highlight a few core ideas. First, her emphasis on dynamism, key idea one. Organizations are ongoing accomplishments that require continuous effort to maintain and reproduce.
Meaning they're never finished.
Exactly. They aren't static things you build and walk away from. They're constantly being performed, recreated, sustained through everyday actions and interactions. It's a process, not just a structure.
That links nicely to key idea two, perspectival thinking, which is.
Simply put, what you see in an organization depends upon the theoretical lens you use to look at it.
So be aware of your glasses.
Be aware of your assumptions. Making your theoretical lens explicit is the first step to better analysis. If you only use the modernist lens, you'll only see efficiency problems and miss crucial cultural or political factors.
Right. What about power? How does she frame that?
That's key idea three, power as pervasive. She challenges the simple idea that power just resides at the top. Instead, she argues power circulates through organizational relationships and practices.
It's not just something the boss has.
No, it's embedded in the systems, the language, the routines, the culture itself. It flows. It's exercised in subtle ways throughout the organization, not just through formal authority.
That makes navigating office politics seem even more complex.
It reflects the complexity. And finally, let's revisit that crucial point on culture. Key idea four, culture's essence.
The big one. Culture is not something an organization has. It is something an organization is.
Yes. That shift from possession to being. It fundamentally changes how you approach understanding and influencing the social reality of work.
Mm.
You stop trying to fix it like a broken part and start trying to understand it like a living system.
So bring this all together. How can you, listening right now, actually use this framework? What are the real life applications?
Well, think of it as a high-level diagnostic toolkit. Let's say you're a manager or leader, and you're facing a problem. Maybe performance is dipping or change initiative is stalling.
Instead of jumping to conclusions.
Exactly. You deliberately apply the three lenses. Use the modernist lens. Is the structure flawed? Are roles unclear? Are the processes inefficient? Is it a technical design problem?
Then the symbolic lens. How are people interpreting this situation? What meaning are they making? Does this change violate cultural norms or values? Is there a lack of trust? Is it fundamentally a problem of meaning or belief?
And then, critically, the postmodern lens. Who gains or loses from this situation or this change? Are there hidden power dynamics at play? Is resistance political? Whose interests are being served by the status quo or the proposed solution?
So by using all three, you avoid, say, trying to fix a deep cultural resistance with a new org chart.
Precisely. You get a multidimensional diagnosis, which leads to much smarter, more nuanced solutions. It stops you from using a hammer on a problem that needs a screwdriver, or maybe even a conversation.
And what about for employees, not just managers? How does this help navigate things from, say, the middle or bottom?
Oh, it's incredibly useful. Hatch's framework essentially gives you a map for understanding the complex territory you work in, the formal rules, modernist, the informal norms and meanings, symbolic, and the underlying power plays, postmodern.
Understanding that map helps you.
It helps you make smarter choices, understand why certain things happen, anticipate reactions, build alliances, and develop more effective ways to influence things or just navigate your career more effectively. You see the whole game board, not just your own square.
It also sounds like it empowers you to be a more critical thinker about what's going on around you.
Absolutely. It helps you become a critical consumer of managerial rhetoric. When the next big change program is announced with all the buzzwords.
Synergy, agility, innovation.
Right. You can look past the slogans and ask, okay, using these lenses, what's really going on here? Whose interest does this actually serve? What are the potential unintended consequences, culturally or politically? It gives you analytical independence.
So the ultimate goal isn't just knowing the theories, it's developing. What did you call it? Theoretical dexterity.
That's the term. Theoretical dexterity. The ability to fluidly switch between these different ways of seeing, to hold them in tension, to get that full 3D picture of organizational life. That's the real skill.
Because organizations aren't simple. They're layered, complex, sometimes contradictory.
And our thinking needs to match that complexity.
Okay, so if there's one final thought to leave everyone with, what would it be?
I think it comes back to that idea of social construction. Remember, organizations are fundamentally human creations. They aren't natural phenomena like mountains or rivers.
They exist because we collectively believe in them and act them out every day.
Exactly. And because they are human creations, built through rational plans, shared meanings, and political interactions, they can always be changed. It might be difficult. It requires navigating all that complexity we've talked about.
Working with the machine, the culture, and the politics.
Yes, all at once. But change is possible. Understanding these dynamics is the first step towards shaping your organizational world, rather than just being shaped by it.
A powerful thought to end on. Mastering the complexity by understanding its different facets.
That's the key.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accoptra Foundation.